My friend, I am about to make for you a very important announcement. I'm going to make it in such a manner, couched in such language, and using such effects as to embed it in your mind and prepare you for the message that is to come. My friend, you have a powerful enemy. He is called the God of this world. He is your avowed adversary. At this very moment, diabolical forces are plotting your downfall. Yes, right now, the enemy is seeking the best ways to discourage you, disillusion you, and defeat you. You have absolutely no human recourse. Your only hope is in God, His Son, His Spirit, and His Word at work in you. You must, whatever you do, learn to accept and to assert your spiritual authority in authoritative prayer. Keep your tape recorder on, as this is the subject of our discussion. Yes, I am aware that sounded rather foreboding, threatening, fearful, weird. But my friend, not near so much so as the conflict in heavenly places that is raging just now around you. Every now and then, somewhere in the world, we see that struggle surface, and it becomes a visible conflict. This is what one author of several years ago called the invisible war. Invisible, nevertheless real. So this tape of the month will find us in the subject of authoritative prayer. And this may indeed be one of a series of several, as God continues to lay on my heart the subject of the authority of the believer, how to accept, acknowledge, and assert our authority in spiritual warfare. And so I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus for what I believe can be a thrilling time for us together, and a time which will be beneficial in times to come, particularly at points of conflict when the enemy comes. I do not want to be guilty of overstating my case or of bringing needless fear into your life. But I do want to speak to you today on a subject around which there is much truth that will benefit you. Now, it's such a wonderful privilege to meet our Tape of the Month family all over the earth. And we literally have them all over the earth. Increasing numbers of people are purchasing gift subscriptions to be sent to missionary friends all over this earth. And we praise the Lord for this growing fellowship. I'm really asking you to pray with me. I believe somehow that it is the will of God that before another year passes, we increase our Tape of the Month family to 500 people. Well, of course, that 500 would be covering several thousand who would be listening. And I'm told in many places that whole prayer groups and Bible studies, as well as families, are gathering around the Tape of the Month to fellowship and to learn vital spiritual principles for the living of the spiritual life. Now, my friend, I want so much to get to the message that I'm going to make short our preliminary discussion. And I'm going to pray for several who are on our Tape of the Month list, in our Tape of the Month family. And then we're going to get right to the message that I'm personally bringing to you from my study in San Antonio, Texas. The message, as you will have heard it, has not been delivered anywhere else, and indeed may not be in this particular fashion. Some of the materials that I'm using have been written down already in tract form as well as in the book, particularly much more on the authority of the believer. I know that if you will seek to put these principles into action, great, immediate, and continuous will be the blessing of it. Now we're going to pray. And now, Father, as I pray this prayer, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, we can come to you, that is, in all that his name implies, in all that his person contains, in all his authority, in all his worthiness, in all his present power, we come in the strong, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this far-reaching Tape of the Month family, and I pray just now for those in our family who need our praying. I'll mention the names of these, but I believe that as we pray for these and as these pray for me, and as we join in praying for each other, a great prayer fellowship will result. And I pray for revival in every one of these hearts. Now I lift up to you the William Garveys in Richmond, Virginia, the Nellie Garveys in Florissant, Missouri, the Charles Gibsons in Richmond, Virginia, Juanita Glennie in Nashville, Tennessee, Abram Good in Montgomery, Alabama, Rich Goodman in Pineville, Kentucky. Lord, I want to pray for these especially, but I thank you right now for the victory in Rich Goodman's life as that flood came and wiped out his personal possessions and his library and his tapes. I thank you that as I've begun to suggest help from here and there, books are on the way and tapes are on the way. And I bless you for the growth in faith that this crisis has brought. Thank you for the concern of Wendell Goodman, his brother, and for the great fellowship we've had in the Spirit. Bless the Jesse Grants, and especially touch them in the plans for the future of a Christian restaurant in San Antonio. Touch Bob Grayson in Colorado City. The Kenneth Gaines in Plainview, Texas, bless them as you bless all of these. Bless the Wayne Halberts in San Benito, Texas. The Hannahs in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Rodney Hanneman in San Antonio, Texas. Thank you for his salvation of several years ago because one woman who now is in glory cared for a little crippled lad who needed friends. Bless Wayne Harmon in his witness in San Antonio. Touch Phil Harris in San Antonio, Texas. Stanley Harvey Senior in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The Stanley Harvey Juniors in San Antonio. I thank you for them and for the manner in which she's given leadership to the great prayer ministry of the Castle Hills Baptist Church. Bless Brother Hawley and his family in Bellevue, Nebraska. Myron Hayter in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The B.H. Hendersons in Montgomery, Alabama. The James Hendersons and Guy Henning in Lockwood, Missouri, in McAllen, Texas. Dr. Roger Hestelow in Burney, Texas. The Holiday Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah. E.E. Holton in San Antonio. Howard Richardson Howard in Cone, Texas. Leo Humphrey and his ministry on the streets and around the country in witnessing from New Orleans, Louisiana. Joe Hutchison, San Antonio, Texas. David Hawes in Bradenton, Florida. And the Tom Hobdes in Canadian, Texas. Leonard Ivester in Bainbridge, Georgia. I thank you and praise you for blessing these and touching them, that even as I've done little more than call their names, We're joining together and you're touching their life. Bless the Jim Jameses in San Antonio, the Albert Jenkins in Galveston, Texas, Dr. Jarvis in Hudson, Wisconsin, the Paul Jennings in Franklin, Tennessee, the Cecil Joneses in Nashville, the Rex Joneses in Manchester, Oklahoma, Bessie Kaler, Sabinal, Kenneth Knight in Kershaw, South Carolina, Mary Frank Kirkpatrick and her work among the students in Ibadan, Nigeria. Touch her and that ministry. Danny Kerr in Sykeston, Missouri. Clifford Lammers, Omaha, Nebraska. Royce Lavelles in Mandeville, Louisiana. Trinette Ledford, San Antonio, Texas. James Lester, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Patrick Lester, Salt Lake City, Utah. Touch him and his outreach. His plans to pursue the call to follow you and preach the gospel. Doris Lewis in Missouri. The Fred Loudons in San Antonio. The Fred Lads in the Mati Baptist Hospital in Davao, Philippines. Guy and Evelyn Linton. Lord, touch these lives. Thank you for what they mean to the kingdom. And just now, in Jesus' name, now as I pray, then as the tape speeds on its way, I ask you to especially touch these and anoint everyone who listens and joins us in prayer that this might be a day of absolute victory in new revelations, old revelations underscored. We bless you and praise you in the good, wonderful, strong, unimpeachable name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, it is a pleasure to pray for you from time to time. And I want you to know that as I pray for you on the tape, this is not the only time I do pray for you. I seek to go through the list at intervals. I would love to be able to go through them monthly, and I believe I'm able to do that. Now, if I hear from you by phone or by letter or when I see you in person, what I do when I get to my room or after I get your call or while I'm getting it, if my notebook is within reach, I take that notebook and by your name, I have a space where I can write information on you so that when I come across your name, I can see a need or an answered request so that I have two prayer books. One is my regular book that is with me all the time that has my regular prayer list and a great deal of other vital information for my praying. And then I have another, much like it, that has nothing but the tape of the month list. And I pray for these at intervals. And so I'm going through the list all the time and praying for you. Now, many of the new ones did not appear in this particular issue of my book. We are putting those together. And the next time, I hope to welcome, as I will be able to, most of the other times, the new subscribers to the tape of the month. If you know of someone who would be encouraged after hearing this message today, especially by the messages that will come in like manner, why don't you simply buy for them a subscription for a six-month period or a year to the tape of the month? God bless you now. I'm going to begin the message under the title of Authoritative Prayer. F.J. Hugel said, "We are in enemy territory." I repeat, we can be more than conquerors by taking our place with Christ in death and resurrection. We must learn to stand on resurrection ground, reckoning dead the old creation life over which Satan has power, and living the new creation over which Satan has no power whatever. This is the fundamental law of victorious living. From this position of oneness with Christ, Christ within the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, we exercise delegated authority. We make patent the Redeemer's Calvary victory, surrounded as we are by demon forces that strike when we least expect it. By an act of faith, we make patent His victory, As we stand unshaken, the enemy flees. For the Holy Spirit bears witness to the fact that he has been judged and overthrown, as we see in John 16:11. Have you been informed of the victory of your Savior in the greatest conflict of the ages? Have you heard his voice, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy"? Then rise up to assert your rights. You are now a king. Rise to reign. Give the command of faith. Never again go under when the enemy comes to oppress. Claim the victory in Jesus' name. Say, "I'm in command here. Give your orders. The enemy will flee, and you will live victoriously, no matter how many or in what manner the demons come out against you. Furthermore, you will learn to liberate others, and that, as a Christian, is your mission." That statement was made by F.J. Hugel, a great missionary statesman who a few years ago went to be with the Lord. Now I want to talk a little bit about authority. The message today will be one of speaking from my heart. I want to talk about authority as evidenced in the Word of God. And I want to read a scripture from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. As Paul was writing the Ephesian church, surely one of his most favorite churches, because it was there that he spent a good many months, he spoke of the fact that he was praying for them. Beginning with verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all." I wish that I might help you in some way catch the magnitude of all that Paul is telling his friends in Ephesus. He's saying, in effect, "I pray for you without ceasing, that God may give you a threefold revelation. One, that you might know what is the hope of your calling. Two, that you might know that God's riches are you. You are God's inheritance, precious to him. But thirdly," he said, "I want you to know the greatness of his power to usward who believe." He described that power in the ensuing verses. That power was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead. That power raised him up so far and set him in heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. What authority! Friend, there is no doctrine we could consider that would yield more immediate joy and effect than the doctrine of the authority of the believer. It is a stream which flows from the basic truth of our identification with Jesus Christ. Because we are one with him, we reign with him even in this life. There is no doctrine which will yield more immediate advantage in the prayer life than this blessed doctrine. To realize that the authority which belongs to Jesus now belongs to us is to move out of the ordinary into the supernatural, out of the humdrum monotony of a sheltered prayer life, to an appropriation of the excitement in battle in prayer that rightfully belongs to us. The appropriation of this authority, which belongs to every believer, of course must come by divine revelation and an act of the will to that revelation. The blindness of most believers to their authority is a supernatural concealment perpetrated by the hosts of hell. Now, Satan knows all too well that when an ordinary believer discovers his true identity, his true position in Jesus Christ, his days of satanic intimidation are over. Believer, Satan is a bluff. But it seems to be working, for he has the greater part of the army of the Lord scared out of their wits. It is the realization of the authority of the believer which sets the soul afire and causes that believer to enter the battle and proclaim an already won victory over the devil. The position of the life of victory is that of authority. Now, the reason that we cannot believe is that we do not know. Having come to believe, we then can come to know. Having come to believe and know, then we can reckon and appropriate. Now, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this vital doctrine, make it so real to you that it will become part and parcel of your life. I want to cover very briefly 8 particular segments of the study of authority. I want to first study its definition. Secondly, its demand. Thirdly, its declaration. Fourthly, its derivation. Next, its delegation. Sixthly, its domain. 7, its discovery. And 8, its dynamics. Let's look at first the definition of authority. There are 2 words in the New Testament which are interchangeably translated power. The translation is not uniform in the King James Version. The word from which we get dynamite is the word often used for power in the English and in the King James. We get dynamic, dynamo, dynamite from that word. And this word should be translated consistently as power. The other word, sometimes translated power, is akousia, which is taken from a verb meaning it is lawful. This word should always be translated authority. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus declared that all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. This is the word akousia, authority. In one verse, both these words are used and both are translated power. But when proper translation is given, it can be more clearly understood. In Luke 19:10, now this was after the disciples came back, you remember, and brought such a glowing report of the fact that even the demons were subject to them. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, in the King James, it is translated, "Behold, I give you power to tread on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." But here, it really ought to read, "I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Now, authority denotes proven might and rests upon power at its source. Authority is delegated power. It is legal standing backed by the power whose name is used to stand behind it. Now, the fact that Jesus has given us his authority is a well-known fact in the Word as well as to the hosts of hell. The devil fears the Christian who has found this blessed truth. Jesus has given us this authority because he has given us himself, and his name stands for all that he is. My friend, though the hosts of hell assail, behind the authority possessed by the believer is a power so far greater than that which backs his enemies. His enemies are forced to recognize and retreat. Now let's look for a moment at the demand of that authority. These are days of intense spiritual warfare, of fierce fights over vital issues. Satan knows that his time is short, and thus there is an increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. These are the days for an authoritative approach to authoritative praying in the name of an authoritative Savior by authoritative saints. We have a Savior upon whom has been conferred all authority in heaven and in earth. Now we need saints who will recognize that in His name all this authority has become theirs by right of their union with Him. Neither earth nor hell can deny or suppress the saint who has discovered his authority in Christ. There is a demand for authoritative teaching, praying, witnessing, resisting the devil. There is a demand for authoritative, unapologetic living. And I pray, my friend, that as you listen, you may decide that the Bible is absolutely true. You can live, walk, pray, teach, preach in the authority of a risen Savior, and the devil has no recourse but to listen or leave. Now, in the third item of the declaration of this authority, we must say that the authority of the believer rests solely upon the authority of the Savior and is as eternal as the authority of the Savior. It is unimpeachable and eternal. Any declaration of the Savior's authority is a declaration of the believer's authority. Let us hear specific declarations from the Bible. All authority is given me in heaven and earth, so said Jesus in Matthew 28:18. In Ephesians 1:19-23, some of the verses we've already given, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. In 1 Peter 3:22, we're told who is gone into heaven, this Jesus, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. In Hebrews 8:1, now of the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. That's how Jesus is seen from the standpoint of the Word. In Hebrews 1:3, who, Jesus again, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, a position of authority. Now, from whence is this authority derived? A vital question. So let's talk about the derivation of our authority. Because Jesus has authority and He lives in us, we have authority. Our authority is derived from His. His authority is derived from the Father's. As He continued submissive to the Father, all of the Father's authority belonged to Him. As you and I continue submissive to His authority, then His authority is ours. And so, our authority derives not from some flimsy relationship, but from the eternal relationship brought about by a miracle of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. Thus, it cannot be assassinated. It cannot be destroyed. The same power that raised up Jesus from the dead raised us up from our condemnation and made us free from the law of sin and death. By that power, the resurrection power of God wrought in Christ by the Spirit, we have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, my friend, the same power that resided in Him resides in us. The authority of the believer is directly derived from God's own Son. Who He is, what He's done, who He is now, where He is, and who I am because I am in Him. As to the delegation of that authority, it is well that we specifically make clear what it means, that He has delegated that authority to us. In Luke 9:1, we're told that He gave His disciples both power and authority over all demons. And they returned in chapter 10 of Luke, saying, Lord, even the devils, the demons, are subject to us through Thy name. Now we who live today have no less authority than did those disciples. We've been saved by the same name, indwelt by the same blessed life. In the disciples then, the authority was a conferred gift. In his disciples now, that authority comes by right of our being one with him. Now the use of that authority, the assertion, the acknowledging of it, is bound up in our being rightly related to Jesus Christ in up-to-date confession and obedience. When we use that name, which is above every name, we stand in all the authority that that name implies. Behind that name stands all that he is, all that he's done, and all that God conferred upon him because of his obedience and the pattern of God's providence. The second chapter of Ephesians have begun with the words, "And you." This is where you come in. What about you? Because he is who he is, where he is, this is where you come in. "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now actually, the continuation of that verse isn't found until we come to 5 and 6. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." Now, my friend, the clear thing I want you to see is that this authority has been delegated to every saint, that one that seems the weakest, that one who seems the poorest. We are to be the means of the expression of his fullness. We have received that fullness. He is our fullness. The principalities are beneath our feet because they're beneath his feet. Nothing under his feet is over my head as far as authority is concerned. I can confess that it is. I can even practice that it is. I can live out a lie, but I need not, because I have that authority in him. Now let's talk for a moment about the domain of that authority before we get to really discussing the matter of authoritative prayer. For this is the basis of authoritative praying, the actual authority that belongs to the believer. Now the word that describes the extent of his and thus our authority is ALL. Let no appearances deceive. Satan is not having and will not have the last word. He's being tolerated. In fact, he's being utilized in God's great plan of the ages. If it were the will of God, he could be demolished now. Praise God that even the devil, despite all he can do, is fitting into the grand providential design of the ages according to the will of God. Now see what Paul says in Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. "To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord." My friend, though God's purpose has been assaulted, God's purpose has been achieved and will be achieved. The church will be God's instrument in declaring and administering God's divine purpose. Thus, the church has been given authority that reaches in two directions, over all power and into all ages. Thus, the authority of the church in prayer is both universal and eternal. There is no one and nothing which can be named that is not already under his feet and under ours as well. Never will the believer face a power or a circumstance in this world or the next over which in Jesus' name he does not have authority. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk a bit about the personal discovery of that. How many believers are living in spiritual intimidation and weakness? All of us do at times. One may have that authority as a legal right and not exert it at all. One may even come to know that he has it and intellectually give consent that he possesses it and still live in spiritual poverty. It's like having $1 million in the bank and living in penury and brokenness and want. And what a shame. Until the authority of the believer becomes a personal and vital spiritual discovery, it will remain a dead, dull, monotonous, and uninviting and unexciting issue. Why, this must be a work brought about by the devil himself to conceal such a fact. Now, this is not just another experience, but a continued appropriation. It is a revelation followed by continued utilization. God is forever unfolding to our finite minds the transforming principles by which we're to walk in our new world of faith. It is by the Holy Spirit that the believer is enabled to commit himself to the source of that authority. And it is by the Holy Spirit that the believer is able to live a life which is, in itself, a demonstration of that authority. The discovery usually comes when there is an admitted deficiency. Most of the inventions of time and discoveries have come about as a result of restlessness and obvious need. Now, I know that some listening to me right now have come to things in their lives that are absolutely astounding to them, puzzling to them, and they're bereft of any understanding. You've come to a lack, to a deficiency. You've said, I cannot go on. What a place to learn your authority. Now let's talk about the dynamics of that authority. Immediately upon the discovery of the authority of the believer, the dynamics began to accrue. There will be strength in battle, not yours, his. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Paul writes the Ephesians. How can we be strong when we're weak? Now, recognizing our position in him, we ask. He is the Lord of glory. He is our strength. We're weak, and he fits into our weakness with all of his strength, so that it is the strength of the Lord that is released in us that causes us to be strong in battle. There will be fearlessness and witness. We quote much from what we call the Great Commission. We quote and consider all too little the basis of it. The authority of the Son of God is the basis of the Great Commission. Did you put those two verses together? All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go ye and give witness. And lo, I, who have all authority, am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise the Lord. There will be sufficiency in living, boldness in prayer. How apologetic, lifeless, unexpectant is most of our praying. This is because we don't have a clear understanding of our rights and position. Listen, Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. My friend, are you in one of those times of need just now? Let that be your call to the throne. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, submissive saint, see your Savior crucified, resurrected, crowned, glorified. He's through the battle, and he has already won. See yourself in union with him, reigning in his triumph, relaxing in his power, imposing his victory over the foes around you. See Satan, frantic but fallen, daring but defeated, retreat before you, cower at the name of Jesus, abandon his stations when he hears the announcement, Jesus shall reign where the sun doth its successive journeys run, his kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. This is your authority. He won it in your name that you might claim it in his name. Live the triumph of the much more life of authority. Would you right now declare with me, I choose by faith to stand in the authority of my Lord Jesus Christ. Repeat it after me. All authority is his, and he is mine. Therefore, all authority in his name is mine. I assert it now over the enemies that confront me, claiming and praising God for the victory now. I claim my position with him in the heavenly places, declaring that as he is, so am I in the world. Now, my friend, I felt compelled to use some of what I'd already written a few years ago under the chapter in the book Much More, entitled The Much More of Spiritual Authority. Now I'm going to talk with you in the time that I have left about praying in authority. I believe that God intends you, as you come in the name of Jesus, not just to find an approach in the name, and not just to end the prayer in the name of Jesus, but I believe that as you take your stand literally against the foes of hell, you're going to discover a new kind of liberation in the matter of spiritual praying. Now, recently, I've come across a few little items that have been of great encouragement to me. One of them is a little tract entitled, A Prayer for Protection from the Adversary and for the Strength of the Lord, written by Lulu Jordan Cheeseman. I'm going to be using some of the things from this mighty little tract. And actually, it'll be in the form of a prayer. It may be that at times you may want to mark the inch meter and where it is on this tape so that you can have ready reference when you come. Or you may want to memorize some of these things, having written them down. Dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I come to you with praise and thanksgiving. Praise the name of the Lord. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. The Word says, Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so as I come to God, I have the privilege of offering praise. Now, as we come with that approach, we're to come something like this. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear Lord, I ask to be forgiven of all my sins and failures, my mistakes and shortcomings, for neglect and omissions, for the words of my mouth, the thoughts of my mind, the meditations of my heart, to be forgiven for everything displeasing in thy sight up to this moment. And I ask to be washed in thy blood, washed and cleansed from all unrighteousness, washed and cleansed in every fiber of my being. For it is written, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as I stop from time to time in just voicing these prayers, I'll be making comments that I believe will be very helpful to you. We're going to be praying in authority when we pray in the name of Jesus and upon the ground of the Word. Now, if the Bible says, be strong in the Lord, then we can say, I ask in the name of Jesus to be made strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We may need at times, and one of these things is so tremendously helpful in the exercise of authority in praying, is to come and put on the whole armor of God. I love to order it as from head to toe. As I come to prayer, I'm expecting a battle with the wicked one. There are times when I sense this more than others. So what do I do? According to Ephesians 6, 11 through 19, I simply visualize the armor, receiving it as a complete panoply of protection against the devil and something that brings me into a position of authoritative praying. And so this is what I say. Lord God, now according to your word, I accept the fact that I have the helmet of salvation, the certainty of salvation covering the vital thinking powers of the mind. I feature that my front is covered by the breastplate of righteousness, my loins girt about with truth, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in my left hand the shield of faith which covers me and protects me from the fiery darts of the wicked one, in my hand the word of God, the enlivened personal Word of God, which the Spirit has made real in my life. And so, in the name of Jesus, I stand in that power, protected in that armor, in that name. And now I stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made me free. For it is written, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not again entangled with a yoke of bondage. Now, being dressed in the armor, we have a right in the name of the Lord Jesus to stand against the powers of wickedness. In time of conflict, we can simply say, I resist and reject all evil spirits, all powers, all sorcery and witchcraft, and all that comes from the enemy of the soul. I wish now, in the name of Jesus, to refuse to accept every and all things that come from the defeated ones. I receive only that which comes from Jesus Christ. I am set to do His will. Now, through the power and the merits of a crucified and risen Savior, we take our place where God has seen us all along, in the heavenly place. By the power and the name of the Lord of Jesus, I accept and appropriate my position. I accept and appropriate Thy power, O God, and authority in my life. I take refuge and a hiding place in You. In Thy name, I am safe. The Word says, Thy Word, Thy name is a strong tower. Those that run into it are safe. I rebuke all powers and influences, all associations and connections brought about by the devil. I reject them and refuse them. Send them back to their source in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, you can tell that this is a kind of praying to which we're largely unaccustomed, but which we are absolutely, to which we're absolutely entitled. And so we can come and revoke and renounce and cancel all that Satan has done. We can say, I claim and take back any and all ground I may have given him. I renew my pledge of allegiance to Jesus Christ. If I know now what I've given ground to him in, I will confess it, the Ouija board, the spiritist medium, fortune-telling, sin or sensuality. So now, in Jesus' name, I revoke, resist, refuse to accept any and all attacks from the devil, claim the cleansing of God not only from my sins, but from the strongholds and the residue that has been left. I accept and appropriate all the weapons of warfare provided for me as a child of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask to be shielded and sheltered in the secret place of the Most High. And now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. That's in Jude 24 and 25. Now, my friend, a few days ago, as this began to come to my heart, I began to remember what happened several months ago. I may have related this to you as my son and I traveled throughout Africa and took a swing by East Africa on our way home, about 7,000 miles out of the way. But my, what a profitable time it was. We landed in Nairobi just at daylight on about a Thursday morning. And then we came Friday night, finally, to our last stopping place in Africa, the strife-torn land of Ethiopia. It was there that Sam Kanata had arranged for all the missionaries in the station to gather. And they belonged to me and I to them all night Friday night and all day Saturday. I asked what they wanted to do, what subjects they wanted discussed. And do you know what they said? They suggested that we study the authority of the believer. Now, my friend, I want you to know that all day Saturday, the rest of the evening, on Friday evening and all day Saturday, several hours, we began to get into the subject of how to acknowledge, accept, and assert our authority over the enemy. At the very moment we decided to study, the powers of the devil were unleashed on my family, on my business, on my home, and I told the missionaries before I left. Of course, I didn't know it until I had gotten to Athens, Greece. But the devil began to unleash his powers. He began to do uncanny things, seeking to destroy my ministry, my business, my family. What an attack. And then the rest is history, almost as you know it. In Ethiopia, it has been absolutely astounding how the devil has concentrated his attacks, and much of that attack on the very man who arranged that meeting in Addis Ababa, Sam Kanata. You're aware that he has been arrested and detained for more than 2 weeks, I believe. And at last report, this is an unconfirmed report, that his house has been burned along with his possessions, and the missionaries are having to move out. Now, my friend, I fully believe that it was the will of God that we set our faces to study how, as missionaries, we should react when the enemy comes in like a flood. Would you let me give you that precious verse in Isaiah 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, my friend, most of what we're hearing from Ethiopia seems to be giving the devil the edge in the battle. But I want you to know that in the midst of it, God's name is being glorified, and God will have the victory. And I praise the Lord that I can encourage you who may have been defeated so far in your conscious mind to pray. If you're afflicted, oppressed, or possessed in any way by anxiety or worry or by the enemy of your soul in taking away the promises, sinking you in depression, tearing at your business, destroying your finances, attacking your children, my friend, don't take it. Go on the attack. Refuse to let the devil have the last word. My friend, take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Now listen. Use that name in prayer. We are told to give no place to the devil. We are told that we are to use that name in an unlimited fashion. Now listen. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Dear friend, as I come near the end of this tape, I have so many things I wish that I could say to you, but we're going to hold the tape this time to an hour in length, and there are going to be other studies. But I want to encourage you to ask God to begin to teach you to pray in an authoritative fashion. There are some of you listening to my voice who are not even aware of a spiritual battle. And that's not because you have victory, that's because you're a prisoner of war. You're a prisoner of war in the prison of worry, in the prison of defeat and disillusionment, in the prison of weakness. Now, I want simply to pray with you a prayer that is not original with me, and yet I believe it's so anointed that I want to share it with you. And I want to pray right now with and for you. Now, Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as my protection. I surrender myself completely and unreservedly in every area of my life to you. I take a stand against all the workings of Satan that would hinder me in my prayer life. I address myself only to the true and living God and refuse any involvement of Satan in my prayer. Now, Satan, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my presence with all your demons. I bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between us, the finished work of the cross. You were spoiled in all your principalities and powers in the cross. Now, Heavenly Father, I worship you and give you praise. I recognize that you're worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. I renew my allegiance to you and pray that the blessed Holy Spirit would enable me in this time of prayer. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, that you've loved me from past eternity and that you've sent the Lord Jesus into the world to die as my substitute. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came as my representative and that through him you have completely forgiven me. I praise you that you have adopted me into your family. You have assumed all responsibility for me. You have given me eternal life. You've given me the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ so that right now I'm justified in him. I'm thankful that in him you have made me complete and that you have offered yourself to me to be my daily strength. Now, Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I might see how great you are and how complete your provision is for this day. I'm thankful that the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, won for me on the cross and in His resurrection, has been given to me, and that at this moment I'm seated with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. I take my place as a choice of my will in that position in the heavenlies, and recognize by faith that all wicked spirits and Satan himself are under my feet. I declare, therefore, that Satan and his wicked spirits are subject to me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the armor you've provided. And so I put it on, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the helmet of salvation. I lift up the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the enemy. And I take in hand the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I trust it as being infallible, inerrant, God-breathed. I choose to use your word against all the forces of evil in my life. I put on this armor and live and pray in complete dependence upon you, blessed Holy Spirit. I'm grateful, Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoiled all principalities and powers and made a show of them openly and triumphed over them in himself. I claim all that victory for my life today. I reject all insinuations and accusations and temptations of the devil. I affirm that the Word of God is true, and I choose to live today in the light of God's Word. I choose, Heavenly Father, to live in obedience to you and in fellowship to yourself. Open my eyes and show me the areas of my life that do not please you. Work in me and cleanse me from all ground that would give Satan a foothold against me. I do in every way stand into all that it means to be your adopted child. And I welcome all the ministry of the Holy Spirit. By faith and independence upon you, I put off the fleshly works of the old man and stand into all the victory of the crucifixion, where the Lord Jesus Christ provided cleansing from the old nature. I put on the new man and stand into all the victory of the resurrection and the provision he has made for me to live above sin. Therefore today, I put off all forms of selfishness and put on the new nature with its love. I put off all forms of fear, and the new nature I put on with its courage. I put off all forms of weakness, and put on the new nature with his strength. I put off all form of lust, and put on the new nature with righteousness, purity, and honesty. I'm trusting you to show me how to make this practical in my daily life. In every way, I stand into the victory of the ascension and glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby all the principalities and powers were made subject to him. I claim my place in Christ as victorious with him over all the enemies of my soul. Blessed Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me. Move in my life to break down every idol, cast out every foe, and stand Jesus Christ in the throne as unrivaled Lord. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, for the expression of your will for my daily life as you've shown me in your word. I therefore claim all the will of God for today. I'm thankful that you've blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that you've begotten me into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm thankful that you've made a provision so that today I can live life filled with the Spirit of God, and I claim that which comes from that fullness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. I recognize that this and this alone is your will for me, and I reject and resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob me of the will of God. I refuse in this day to believe my feelings and hold up the shield of faith against all the accusations and distortions and insinuations that Satan would put into my mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I completely surrender myself to you, Heavenly Father, as a sacrifice, living, wholly acceptable. I choose not to be conformed to this world. I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I pray that you will show me your will and enable me to walk in the fullness of your will this day. I'm thankful that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and the casting down of every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, Therefore, in my own life today, I tear down the strongholds of Satan and smash his plans formed against me. I tear them down in my mind, and I surrender my mind to you. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I break and smash the stronghold of Satan formed against my emotions as I give them to you. I smash the strongholds of Satan formed against my will. I give my will to you. I smash the strongholds of Satan formed against my body. I give my body to you. My family, my business, my leisure, all my interests, I put under the blood, owned by Jesus Christ, lorded over by Him. I pray that now, Heavenly Father, you would strengthen and enlighten me. Show me the way Satan is hindering and tempting and lying and distorting the truth. I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that the blessed Holy Spirit will bring all the work of the crucifixion, resurrection, and glorification, and all the work of Pentecost into my life today. I surrender myself to you. I refuse to be discouraged. You are the God of all hope. You've proven your power by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I claim in every way this victory over all satanic forces in my life. And I pray gladly in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, my friend, I've sensed the presence of the Lord as I've simply had to stand to my feet to finish praying that prayer for you. And now will you listen to the final assertion? Though the struggle is intense, the battle as to its outcome is certain victory for us. We can therefore stand in the midst of the conflict and say, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.